Coming up on this week's edition of BYU Basketball with Kevin Young, the Cougs sailed some rough seas in Stillwater, setting up a clash of the Cougars this Saturday at the Marriott Center. We've got assistant coach Brandon Dunson joining the head coach in Studio C. Coming up next on BYU TV and ESPN Plus.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is presented by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 30 years.
Wow. Somehow it's Thursday night already again. Hello once again, Cougar Nation. Welcome back inside Studio C at the BYU Broadcasting Building. We're in Provo, Utah for our latest weekly look inside the BYU men's basketball program. We are joined by a live studio audience. You just heard them and you just saw them, but let's hear them and see them again, shall we? Somehow even more impressive the second time around. All right, and we are seen and heard on ESPN Plus, the BYU TV app, and BYU Radio. All right, coming up on this evening's program, we will, among other things, take a brief look back at a pair of road games in the Midwest for BYU. Deep Blue will feature star freshman A.J. Dibadsa. Assistant coach Brandon Dunson is our special guest here in studio. We'll have Q&A with the coaches, Dunson and Young, and look ahead to Saturday's showdown between BYU and the University of Houston. To tip off tonight's show, let's welcome back into Studio C the second-year head coach of your Cougar Hoopsters, Kevin Young. All right. You know, normally January, February is not polo weather, but it is that kind of weather for Utah right now.
Yeah, it felt like a nice spring day out there.
Yeah, so it was that.
Take advantage of
this,
it.
This makes perfect sense. Yeah. All right, this is your second go-round of the Big 12, and everything you knew about the year last year, you're seeing again this year. Great depth, top to bottom, every game a grind. You're in it right now.
We are. You know, we're in the middle of the fire and, you know, digging ourselves down into a little bit of a hole, so trying to come out of it, and that's part of going through a season. You know, there's ups and downs, and, you know, no one really, you know, is going to run the table. Even these a few teams left that haven't been beaten, I'm sure we'll face some adversity soon. But like I said, man, I've been doing this a long time, and you always have parts of seasons that are like this, and it's no fun going through it, and that's kind of my message to the guys. You just have to embrace it. You know, you got to break the wall down. That's the only way to do it.
You're in a stretch of five consecutive quad one games right now. That happens in this league.
It does, and I think it's the blessing and the curse of being in this league, because every night is a chance to have a big win, and you know, a statement type win for the most part. And even if it's not a quote unquote statement win, just a win that kind of bolsters your resume for the tournament. So, you know, none bigger obviously than, you know, the task at hand coming up.
In all of your great previous professional experience, you had some time with the Phoenix Suns. We talked last night about one of your head coaches that you've had in the past, and named Monty Williams, and he had a Monty mantra, maybe of sorts. Maybe you'd like to share with our audience what you told our pregame listeners last night.
Yeah, Monty had a lot of mantras, so sometimes you know, we would tune him out, but one rang true. Right, going through what we're going through, you know, he said everything you want's on the other side of hard, and it's so true. You know, it's so true. You know, losing a nail biter to the number one team in the country after not playing well, that's hard. You know, taking it on the chin in Kansas and kind of clawing our way back, that's hard. You know, and then, you know, add on what happened last night, that's very difficult. And so, you know, you got to push through. You know, you got to push through. And I've just talked to our guys about embracing the hard. You know, everything that we want is still on the table. Everything we want to achieve this season is still on the table. And I was reminded, actually, by a tweet I saw you put out, I think, today, just about we're at the halfway point
right.
of the Big 12, right? And so there's
and there have been some nice second halves.
Yeah. And there's just a lot of opportunity still at hand. And, you know, I'm a solution-oriented person. You know, you've been in my office at Find Solutions in red marker at the top of my whiteboard, and that's kind of the mode we're in right now as a staff.
You know, nothing's a given in March, but you hope that what you go through in the Big 12 is a proving ground for the postseason, obviously.
Yeah, I think you've seen that with particularly some of the SEC teams and Big 12 teams, even from last year. You know, when I, you know, I didn't really follow it that closely as far as, you know, I'd watch the tournament, but I was never like, oh man, that team struggled in the year. And now that, you know, and I think you saw that some last year. At least I did, studying it a little bit. I think you've seen it even this year with some other teams who, you know, had a hard schedule early that took some on the chin that are now finding some rhythm. But as my good friend Miles Simon, who was the commentator for the game last night, reminded me, you know, you got about 5 weeks to figure it out, right? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, obviously there's some urgency to that piece, and that's what we're going through right now.
How much do you want to rely on your senior leaders who've actually been through these Big 12 battles before?
You know, quite a bit. You know, Richie and I were texting a little bit today. You know, he's obviously so invested in BYU and wanting to see us do well and care so much about winning. And look, some of it is the younger guys too have to step up. You know, two of the guys that, you know, we would have relied on from a senior leadership standpoint from experience aren't out there, you know, in Dawson and Nate Pickens. And so other guys, younger guys are getting more opportunity to kind of be in the fire, and they have to, you know, at this point, everyone's kind of experienced, you know, it really, truly, with this much season under our belt, everyone's kind of a little bit more of a veteran, and everyone's got to step up.
Talk a bit about the depth of the league. Six Big 12 teams in the top 25 in both Net and KenPom, eight are in the top 50. It's as good a league in that upper half as there is in the country this year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's, you know, we talk about it a lot. There's just no nights off in the league. But again, it represents a lot of good opportunity. You know, and I think Coach Self, who I have a lot of respect for, said this a few weeks ago. I mean, if you're in the top five or six of the Big 12, you could legitimately win the entire tournament, right? And so, you know, I really don't try to get too lost in all that. I just want to, you know, get better and find ways to fix things that aren't going well right now. And again, you know, that's part of going through a season. It's the bottom line, and every team goes through it, and obviously we're no exception.
I've talked with you enough to know that you don't want to concede anything when you go on the road. You like the opportunity to go on the road and silence a crowd, and you don't want to say, well, it, you know, the home court advantage thing. You almost don't want to acknowledge it because you can go and play well on the road. Hasn't happened your way the last couple of games out, but equally, I know you're happy to be home, to have a team like Houston coming into your place on Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. And like going now through my second season in the Big 12, it's like, you know, I'm sure Kansas was licking their chops to get us in their building after what we did to them in our building last year, right? And so, you know, I think I'm pretty sure Houston was our first road game last year, right? So
yeah, after opening with Arizona State, then on the road, yeah.
Yeah, so it's nice to get them back here. But, you know, just because you're home doesn't mean it doesn't guarantee anything, obviously. But, you know, there's definitely, as much as I try to duck that and acknowledge it, there's definitely something to, you know, being home. One, I think just the routine, you know, it's not broken. Obviously the energy from the fans is incredible, especially here. So we're definitely looking forward to that.
All right, let's get into a bit of a recap. First up, BYU just wrapped up a two-game Midwestern road swing. Games at Kansas on Saturday and then Oklahoma State last night. Let's take a look back at some highlights and stats presented by Intermountain Health. BYU's journey began with a trip to Allen Fieldhouse on Saturday. ESPN College Game Day was on hand for KU's 1,000th men's basketball game in that venue's venerable history. And the individual we've chosen to highlight tonight from Saturday is Richie Saunders. He was exceptional, leading BYU back from down 20-plus to make it very interesting late in this one. Richie goes 11 for 19 from the field, including 6 of 14 from deep, on the way to a career-high 33 points, 10 rebounds for his fourth career double-double, a couple assists, a couple steals, block shot. After the game, Coach, you said he was the best player on the floor, and there were some very good players on that floor that day.
Yeah, no, I thought he was tremendous in that game. I did think he was the best player on the floor in that game. Yeah, he's just so much more than a shooter, you know. I mean, he's a consistent rebounder even at his size, playing a little undersized in some instances. And I don't know if I've ever been around a guy with the will to win and a competitive fire like he has. And so I was really happy, you know, for him personally. Obviously, that was a game that we wanted to win, but I thought, you know, for his career and his ambitions as a in terms of what he's looking at post BYU, you know, I don't know if there could have been a better outcome for him personally. And I know that he's sick about the loss, but I think in the back of his mind, I'm hoping it can kind of let him breathe a little easier, having kind of a real marquee performance in front of, I think there was, 33 or some odd scouts at that game.
Yeah, there are a lot of big brass in there.
My phone was blowing up about him after that game, so good for him.
That's good. That is good. Yeah. He's clearly a very skilled basketball player. There's actual basketball skill, but then you get words attached to him like grit and hustle and tenacity and competitiveness. But they're not just throwaway words. Speaking of someone who's been in the NBA, how much do NBA GMs and others value those traits beyond the skill?
I mean, it's one of the most valuable things you can find in a player. And now, look, you can't be like me, 6'1", and really average at everything and just play hard and get to the NBA, right? But when you're 6'5", great athlete like he is, you know, shoots the heck out of the ball and does all that thing, okay, then you're talking about stuff that's really attractive to NBA teams. I think particularly teams that are, you know, drafting to in a win now mode. You know, I was talking to an executive at our shoot around in Oklahoma about this very thing, about Richie. Hmm. And so, you know, his value, I think, is going up and up.
Excellent. Let's take a look at some final stats from Saturday at Allen Fieldhouse. The rare day that BYU loses a game despite winning the rebounding battle on that afternoon. But to 57%, I think, was the highest number you've allowed this season from an opposing team shooting-wise. And again, the early deficit just proved a little bit too much to overcome on that day.
Yeah, and a lot of it was, you got to give Bryson Tiller credit in that game. That was his best game of the season. He hadn't played quite like that, and, you know, he was very – he was a thorn in our side by making a lot of plays. A lot of the other stuff, I mean, you expect Peterson to do what he did, Council to do what he did, but Taylor, in my mind, was really the X factor.
Made some big threes.
Huge threes, which hadn't
been a big part of his game to that point.
Yeah, I think he made 6 on the year, and he comes in and goes 3 of 3 or whatever it was.
All right, the Cougs headed home after Saturday's game to rest up and then gear up for a return to the road at Oklahoma State. BYU had won the last 2 against OSU, but lost in their last visit to Stillwater when the Cougs came in with a number 11 ranking. That was 2 years ago. BYU was ranked 16th this week going into last night's game. The Cougs trailed by as many as 15 in the first half, but made a great rally late in the half. 12 of BYU's final 16 points in that first half were scored by A.J. DiBonsa as BYU ended up tying the game at halftime at 41. Coach, we're going to see a lot of that late first half rally here, and A.J. was a big part of it.
Yeah, you know, for as poorly as he started the game, you know, with 4 early turnovers, you know, he was even more impressive during that stretch right there. I mean, Rob, I think, got fouled, so we kind of put A.J. at the point guard position, and obviously with his size, his ability to get downhill was on full display. Hit a couple threes as well. And that was huge to, you know, not go into the locker room with one of the big deficits that we've been facing lately.
AJ finishes 13 of 20, 5 for 8 from the arc, added 7 boards, 4 assists, drew 8 fouls. And after last night, he again now leads the country in scoring at 23.9 points per game.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's obviously super talented, hadn't played up to expectations that he has for himself, that I also have for him in the last couple of games. So it was good to see him getting kind of back on track. But look, man, it feels like a little bit right now that you're putting a hole out over here and then one coming in over here, and you're just kind of going like this all over the place. And that was the case in this game with the turnovers to start the game, allowed them to get out in transition, kind of get comfortable, get some confidence. And so that's the challenge, I think, right now that I'm facing is really just trying to identify, you know, what problems can we fix without trying to fix everything and catch every raindrop. And, you know, his play is a large part in that. And I do think he's in a good headspace, though.
His big night last night, not enough to lead the Cougs to victory. OSU's 58-point second half was kind of decisive as BYU drops its third consecutive game. Final stats show both teams shot it really well, Coach, on the night. But the turnover trouble leads to that first half deficit, and then just tough time getting stops after halftime.
Yeah, I mean, you're being kind. Our defense was abysmal. I mean, it was awful. There's no other way to say it. Our one-on-one defense was pathetic. It's hard because there's no scheme for that. You know, you can scheme for this and scheme, but when a guy just straight line driving you, there's no scheme for that. And so it's something that, you know, we have to take more pride in on that end of the floor. And then obviously, you know, not turning the ball over and allowing teams to get out. That's really our transition defense has been predicated on a lot of the turnovers the last couple of games, and that's really been hurting us.
The assist count is presented by Siegfried and Jensen, assisting Utah families for over 35 years. And against Oklahoma State, BYU recorded 12 helpers on the night. Next up is our Bully on the Boards count, presented by Big Bully Turf. Woman founded, waffles approved. BYU matched OSU on the boards last night with 34. And with last night's game in the books, BYU's now hit the halfway mark in their Big 12 campaign at 5-4, 9 games down, 9 games to go. Let's take a look to the schedule and how these 9 games break down with 5 at home and 4 on the road down the stretch. And it all begins this Saturday with a Houston in town coach for a clash of the Cougars. You saw them last in the Big 12 tournament in Kansas City. Since you played them that night almost a year ago, they've only lost 3 games.
Yeah, I mean, Coach Sampson's got it rolling down there, obviously. Got some great players, really dynamic young freshman, Kingston Fleming. He's had a great start to the year. And they, you know, they do what they do. They have a great identity, great culture, and it's going to be a great opportunity for us to, you know, right the ship against a really good team. And I can't wait for the game.
All right, it is time for our first break, and this reminder that your day-to-day Cougar Sports play-by-play happens on BYU Sports Nation. Join Spencer Linton and Jerem Jordan. You'll get it weekdays at noon Eastern, 10 Mountain Time on BYU TV and BYU Radio. When we come back, Deep Blue will feature A.J. DeBonsa. And assistant coach Brandon Dunson joins us in studio when BYU Basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stay with us.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Brady Plus, delivering the right supplies plus support to ensure businesses are more successful. And Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope.
We welcome you back to BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Tonight's Deep Blue is, as always, presented by Deseret Book, home to real-life stories of faith, grit, and hope. Dive deeper today at DeseretBook.com. BYU freshman A.J. DeBonsa is made of more than just the talent shown on the hardwoods. Hard work and following good parents who came from humble circumstances have fueled A.J.'s desire to be a difference maker on and off the court. Here now, Deep Blue with A.J. DeBonsa.
What else don't they know about me? Everything on the internet.
Boo. Cry, cry, baby. Just kidding.
Right, when I was 3 years old, I was crying like a normal kid. I used to cry a lot. Okay,
I used to cry a lot. AJ, really?
AJ's journey definitely starts with his parents. They both come from humble backgrounds.
I loved growing up in Jamaica. My grandmother raised me. And she was always about respect, always about, you know, showing love to each other.
I was born in the Congo, Brazzaville. At the age of 13, my dad thought it was better for me and my brother, my younger brother, to go live in France for better education.
They both worked, coming from foreign countries, both got jobs and raised 3 kids. Just them being like just examples that me and my sister can follow, which has been better for us, more beneficial for us.
You know, the sacrifices that they've all made to see him be able to thrive and to get where he's going, right? Because he hasn't arrived yet, but where he's going and the sacrifices that they've made is special. You know, because mom is handling a lot, dad is handling a lot, and it's all for the betterment of the family as a whole.
You can tell for them, that's first. It's like, you're gonna sacrifice for your family. Like, this is what we do. But we're also going to serve and never forget where we come from. So when you see these drives that AJ does or these charities he does, like, a lot of people have things like that, but it's kind of, this is my image. With AJ, he's deep in the weeds. He cares about that stuff.
When he was 4 years old, I took him to the Congo. I went home, I brought thousands of pens and pencils. And I went to give them away to the middle school that I attended back then. He came with me, so he helped me. And then he asked me, why give them away? I said, AJ, they don't have. You got to give. You have to help any way you can. Someday, that will be you. 12 years later, he got his first NIL from Nike. He started giving away sneakers, hat, shirt, t-shirt, name it, to kids in the Brockton community. Full circle, I got tears in my eyes.
When he went to Jamaica, he gave back sneakers to those kids' eyes like lit up when they saw AJ. I love it. That's what I want to see my kids do, you know? Especially unfortunate ones. And if you're in a position to give back, you have to give back.
So my family and I came up with the AJ DiBonsa Foundation, mainly to send kids from the Congo and Jamaica to colleges, because, you know, the means isn't as good as, you know, that we have over here in the States. So I just want to help out and raise money so my roots can, you know, have the same, you know, aspirations as me and go to college and get a free education.
AJ fell in love with Spider-Man when he was, what, 1, 2 years old? He has everything Spider-Man, from head to toe. We knew he was going to be tall. The doctor told us. He was long when he was born. So I'm like, this kid ain't playing soccer. He's playing basketball. So, you know, in my mind, basketball, basketball, basketball.
I didn't want to play basketball. I'm like 3 years old. Can barely walk, can barely talk.
I tried to force him. It didn't work. I gave up. And then 2012, we moved and I went shopping. And I came across a little basket board, the one you put in the back, you know, back of your bedroom door. But the only thing is, it was covered with Spider-Man logo. I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
When he bought the Spider-Man hoop, things changed. But I was like 5 years old when he bought the hoop, though. So it was like 2 years after. I kind of knew what basketball was. I didn't even know what basketball was when I was 3 years old.
The rest is history.
I pushed them to, you know, do good, because I always say, you know, once you get your education, your degree, no one can take that away from you.
I'm like, first thing first, you gotta have grades. A and B in this house. Honorable student, that's all I want. He said, okay, Dad, don't worry. Came home to C, I think it was C minus. I'm like, all right, I gotta send him a lesson.
He wasn't taking his schoolwork seriously because AJ was all about basketball. He just wanted to play.
I called his coach. When's the next tournament? He goes, Philadelphia. I say, when? This weekend? Yeah. I say, do me a favor. I'm gonna drive there. Don't play, Jay.
So we get to Pennsylvania. I'm in warm-ups. He doesn't even tell me I'm not playing. So I'm like, okay, I'll be sixth man. I have no problem with it. Sixth man goes in, seventh man goes in, eighth man goes in. I don't ask the coach, like, when are you gonna put me in? I'm just waiting. So after the game, I was like, is there something wrong? He was like, nah.
Devastated. So on the way back, he was crying. I looked at him, I said, did you get the message? From that point on, he's been an honorable kid.
When you see a guy that has had as much written about him and as many talking heads talk about him, you know, I think it's easy to just make it about AJ. And the thing I love about him is he empowers other people. He empowers his teammates.
I mean, it's a team game at the end of the day. Yeah, it's fun when one person is doing everything, but when everybody's eating, when everybody's killing, when everybody's scoring points, everybody's getting assists, everybody's getting blocks, it's way more funner. Because it's a team sport at the end of the day.
His mom and dad don't let him get big-headed about things because they'll chop him back down to size. And he realizes that, and they've done that for him since day one.
I let him dunk.
They were always supportive, but they've never been one to sing his praises and tell him he was better than anybody else because they also realize you have an opportunity. And where we came from, there could have been people just as good who never got that opportunity. So they always have that in the back of their mind. And I think he always has that in the back of his mind.
Have a great career, continue to help, and live a great life. Once I'm dead and gone, he thinks my dad taught me right. I'll be smiling.
Well, Coach, you knew a lot about AJ before he came to play for you. What's maybe one thing you learned about him coaching him this season, this year?
I think that personified it, just like how just good of a human being he is. You know, the humility that he has is pretty remarkable, you know, just given kind of his, you know, status or whatever. Obviously, his parents are amazing. And for me, I just have a lot of – I'm just proud, honestly. I don't know if we could have found a better person to come here and just be a representative of, you know, the type of people we want to be associated with here at BYU. And that goes for Ace and Chelsea as well, and his sisters too. He's just a great guy, man. It's just fun to coach him. It's fun to see his success. And I think kind of like how we're seeing Yegor now, just to have, you know, guy like AJ kind of be one of the flag bearers of the program as when he does leave here, I think is something that will just carry on for a very long time.
Speaking of which, we were on the road last Friday in Lawrence when Yegor came to town to play the Jazz on that Friday night. But it was so cool to see the things he was saying about his BYU experience and how much BYU support he felt that night at Delta Center last week.
Yeah, I think, all of our guys, obviously a lot of the guys that grow up in the church and grow up around it kind of get that part. But these guys that kind of, they are, you know, adopted children.
Come into it, yeah.
Exactly, right. They, I think they have a real appreciation for it. You know, it was cool to hear Yegor's comments, and I think it was no surprise that he, had his best game of the season.
Had a career game. That was pretty awesome. All right, tonight's special guest was, if I'm not mistaken, the first hire Kevin Young made after being named BYU head coach almost 2 years ago. Please welcome into Studio C, assistant coach Brandon Dunson. Great to have you here.
Yep, great to be here.
First off, Coach Young, am I right about that? First coach hired?
You are, yep. I was just thinking about that in the back of my mind. We're at the Henry Hotel restaurant right in Scottsdale, and right across the street from the Suns practice arena. I said, hey, meet me here at like 8 o'clock in the morning before I get into practice, and let's meet. And we hit it off and haven't looked back since.
Was that your first contact?
Yes, so we had talked the night before, and that was kind of it. So it was had a great meeting, and just felt like we vibed together, and all of our, not just on court, but like our values and who we were, what we thought were important as people, and like that sold me on it. And there's one thing he said that was huge to me is like, I know a lot of people work with NBA guys. I've worked with NBA guys, and he said, hey, I know how to coach basketball on the court. I have no idea how to run a college program, and I need people to help me do that. And just the humility in that was like, all right, I like this guy.
And you were coming right out of Stanford at that point, right?
Yes.
Yeah. What made Brandon somebody you immediately wanted to work with when you got the BYU job?
I think just how he carries himself. Obviously extremely intelligent. But basketball is a small world. You know, everybody's connected in some form or fashion. So our strength coach when I was with the Suns had worked at Stanford with Brandon. And then we had a couple of other – he knew Justin, my brother, who knows everybody. And so, he came highly recommended. And then, just his experience, like you said, at the college level, in terms of what I was really needing was a no-brainer. And then – now that's like the least thing that I even think about. It's like he's just a great guy. You know, we had babies. His little guy and my little girl are like right around the same age. Wives are friends. And so it's become so much more than basketball.
You're new to BYU, but you'd actually been exposed to BYU basketball quite a few times.
Yeah.
I'll see if I'm missing anything here. Stanford, the 2018 NIT,
yes.
We were on the staff.
Yeah.
We played there. I remember that.
Yeah.
Nevada. Opened the 2018-19 season in Reno at your place. You were on that staff.
Yep.
Fullerton, 2019-20, you came to the Marriott Center.
Yeah.
And then you go back to Stanford, and I know you had close scrimmages against BYU back-to-back years, including Marriott Center. So you knew a bit about BYU.
Yeah, actually my first time ever coming out here was 2015. It was an exhibition game. It was my third year coaching. I was at Arizona Christian University.
NAIA.
Yeah. So we played BYU then. We were very excited. We drove to Dixie State the night before and played them. Then drove up that morning, played BYU. We were tied at half. We thought we were gonna we got a chance to beat a Division I. And then Toulson hit four threes, and they ended up beating us by 30.
And that was that. But you'd had some exposure. You knew what BYU was about a little bit.
Yeah. No. It's an amazing place. Like being here full time, you can really see it. You could see it back then, though. It's like the people were always so nice, everyone around. And the experience is that times 10 when you're here full time.
Speaking of times 10, you've been involved, I think, with 10 different programs.
Yeah.
At a relatively young age. You look super young. How much has this variety of experience helped you as a coach?
Probably been the most important thing to me. I see there's tons of ways to win basketball games, tons of ways to run programs and impact people. And I've been around a lot of great leaders, been able to see things that I relate to more, things that I don't relate to as much, and able to give perspective. And I think that's kind of my job, is to help coach and other people on staff see things in a different way that maybe they haven't thought of before. And all the while kind of continue to build my personal philosophy as well.
Coach, a few weeks back, we had Deep Blue. We saw Coach Dunson's story on Deep Blue. Did you get to see that yourself as well?
Yeah,
what did you think of that?
Loved it. I was glad to bring some shine to the community. And it's always great talking about how I grew up, where I grew up, my family. And
Bloomington, Illinois?
Bloomington
Normal area?
Yep. So spent half my childhood in Bloomington and half in Normal, which is like Provo and Orem.
Yeah, they're neighbor cities, right?
Yeah.
Your first college experience was at SIU Edwardsville. Which is a couple hours away from Bloomington, down closer to St. Louis, right?
Yeah, it's right next to St. Louis. Actually, my mom is from Alton, Illinois, which was 5 minutes from there. So a lot of her family's still in that area. But yeah, so that was my freshman year over there.
And you had a variety of playing experiences as well at different schools, including coming west.
Yep.
We learned in your Deep Blue about how you gravitated toward basketball after thinking you might be a gymnast at one point.
Yeah. I had a lot of different things I thought I was going to do. But
Mom said you might have thought, that she's talked about a rap career that might have been a thing. How serious were you about music?
Pretty serious. I mean, I had a couple radio songs and did a couple things like that. So it was fun, but at the end of the day, the passion for ball just took over.
Has anything you've ever done popped up on a playlist at practice or a shoot around?
No.
It will after this, I can promise you. Yeah.
How about life in Provo and coaching for BYU now that you've been around a couple of years?
Honestly, it's been amazing. Like I said, the people have been great. I've been in such fast cities the last 15 years, really, where I was in Phoenix, I was in the Bay Area, I was in Orange County, Denver. So it's nice to have slower pace where everyone kind of knows each other. And obviously the university has been amazing. The fan base, I said this to someone else, I think I was talking with Trevin Nell, and like, there's a lot of good basketball fan bases, a lot of good football fan bases. I don't know that there's a university fan base like BYU in the world. Like no matter soccer, sports, academic, whatever it is, it's the support here is unmatched.
Coach, if it came down to who's got the most game at their current level in of life, where are you two in that mix, and who else on the staff is going to give you guys a serious run?
He's way higher than I. This, like, all jokes aside, Brandon can still like windmill dunk, so I'm far away. I could dunk the tennis ball, I'm okay there, but no, Brandon keeps himself in great shape. And in some games, I think I'm going to throw him in there to go play some defense on some of these guys.
Yeah, I would definitely give it to John Linehan.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Oh, here we go.
Let's go.
That trumps the
okay.
See, man, mine was so weak compared to this. Like, come on, I mean, this guy's a real athlete. Look at that.
That was so long ago.
But he could literally still do all that. That's his dad. How old is your dad in that video?
I think he's like 50. I mean,
come on, man.
52 in that video.
It's in his genes. Sorry, Dad. Dad, you didn't give me that, I can tell you.
You mentioned JL, though.
Yeah, JL.
That, legend.
Yeah. Defensively, he's still a menace to those guys out there. And he has great energy every day and brings it. Like, I'll go out there sometimes, but he's like every day, and he's just on it. Like,
he is.
Like, he his mind snaps into a different place when he gets out there with the guys.
By the way, I don't think we mentioned this on the show or not, but back in December, they announced that Coach Linehan's going into the Providence Hall of Fame, which is pretty cool.
It's
very
amazing. For him.
Yeah. Before the break, real quick, your quick thoughts on where BYU is right now and what you anticipate here as we head down the stretch.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've had a good run so far. We've obviously hit a little bit of a rut, but we're working every day to work through that, and it's all process-oriented. That's how we look at everything. So we're trying to take things little by little, evaluate them, and then see how we can improve in different areas to up our level of production.
All right, Brandon Dunson is our guest here in Studio C. Coming up next, some fun and games with the coaches, Young and Dunson, when BYU Basketball with Kevin Young continues. Stick around. Welcome back. This is BYU Basketball with Kevin Young. Helping Utah families for over 35 years. It is time for this evening's, this week's weekly test of wits. It's our game show feature, and we're playing a classic coaches show game tonight. We call Shot Shadows. Shot Shadows. Here's how it works. Our crafty editors have blackened out a player in game footage. Your job, the two of you, really. Kevin, you can chime in. You're only able to see their shadow, if you will, but your job is to identify from the shadow who the player is shooting just based on their shot form.
Oh, this will be good.
You ready for this?
Yeah,
okay.
This will be good.
Let's start things off with our first shot shadow. Roll it.
That's AJ,
sure. Right?
Yeah. Okay, they're quickly on AJ. Quickly on AJ. And I think I felt. How do you feel about that, AJ? That look like AJ.
Yeah.
All right. Let's re-rack it and see who it actually is. And it's no surprise to learn that it is. It is number three. It's AJ DiBonsa. Okay, that's how we play Shot Shadow.
Okay.
Let's go to number two. Number two, please. We're only going to see the shadow.
Mo
Davis.
You think that's Mo?
Oh yeah.
Coach, your thoughts?
I'm going with Moo as well, you know, and it's good to see him make a couple more last night as well. So hopefully that's him. We're right.
Let's re-rack it and see who it actually is. All right, editors are going to do their thing.
Oh, Tyler.
Tyler wow. Russ.
That was
wow.
My second thought on that.
Wow, that was surprising. I thought for sure that was Moo. Okay.
Well, you can't spell Russ without an M and a U. It's Moo.
Yeah,
but other
go.
Than that, all right, our third shot shadow. Let's roll it for the coaches.
Rob Wright. Gotta be.
the hair gave it away.
I saw that too. Yeah. In rehearsal, I'm like, well, that gives it away.
Yeah.
So, I think we're going to get no surprises here as we find out that this shot shadow is yes.
Yeah.
Robert Wright III. Okay. Our fourth shot shadow coming your way. We are playing shot shadows, and that's tough because it kind of fades into the background. Huh. That's a harder one, I think.
I have a suspicion. I need to see it one more time.
Yeah, I'm the same way. Maybe that one's Moo.
So we're looking at footwork. Coach, what are you thinking? Coach Ray Young, you said you got a suspicion. Who are you thinking?
I was thinking Mihailo.
Let's roll with that. Let's go with that thought. I think that's a solid thought to go with. Editors?
Yes,
Mihailo Boskovic. Well done, Coach Young. Good job.
Yeah.
What did you see on that?
He's kind of got a, and I tell my kids this all the time, it doesn't really matter how you, as long as you end it up here, he kind of brings it off the side and then gets it there, and that's kind of what I noticed on that one.
Okay, I like it. Number five, shot shadow.
DB.
Yeah.
You guys both say DB?
Yeah.
DB, aka Dawson Baker. That's their guess on shot shadow, and it is.
Yeah.
Dawson Baker.
Who we miss dearly, I
you
might
do. You do, you really do. By the way, and this is kind of a separate topic altogether, but what is the situation? Could he come back for another year if that's what he wants to do medically? Can he do that?
So, again, to your question, see, anything like this is, hey, Brandon, tell me the rule on this.
Yeah.
Is it off bounds?
No. Literally, there's so many rules in college, I don't know any of them, so I always call him.
Okay.
So, as long as he was hurt within the first half of the season
which
and played
he was.
Less than 20% of the games, which he did.
Which he did, yeah.
He would have
qualifies.
A chance to come back, yeah.
So it's kind of up to him. If he wants to do it, he can come back for another year.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. And he's in the recovery mode right now, and it sounds like he's close to running, and so it's kind of progressing, isn't it?
Yeah. He stepped on the court and just got some random shots up the other day, so that was good to see.
Well, that would be a huge bonus for the program, wouldn't it?
It would be.
To get him back.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It would be.
Okay. That was number five, shot shadow. Number six.
It's got to be Richie.
Yeah.
It's got to be Richie, they say. They saw enough to know that it's got to be Richie Saunders. And let's see what happens when the shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't really pick up the headband in the shadow, but you know enough other things from there to know that it's Richie Saunders. All right, our next shot shadow, this will be shot shadow number seven. I think we've got 10 in the queue.
There's Moo, finally.
This one, okay.
<There's>
we thought Tyler Morris was Moo, but this may actually be Moo. So let's remove the shot shadow and see who it looks like when we, yes.
There we go.
Yep.
That's right. Crazy how much Tyler's
I know. Is actually. I've never thought that.
I wonder if they know that about themselves, that their shots. All right, our number eight shot shadow for the coaches here on BYU Basketball with Kevin Young.
Alex.
Yeah.
I'm going Alexei. the hair kind of.
Yeah,
you
that's
got
what
the hair.
100% what got me.
All right, let's see if that's indeed Alexei Kostic.
There we go.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, good. He's got a pretty shot.
Yeah, sharp shooter.
Number 9, our next shot shadow after Alexei Kostic. 2 more to go.
Hadid.
And again, I'm thinking the hair kind of gives this one away. You can't disguise the hair in the shot shadow. We know that that's the distinctive do of Hadim Boop. By the way, Hadim, 3's in back-to-back games now?
Yeah. No, it's a, I mean, if that's, and he's going to get there eventually. And once he gets confidence and consistency with that, I mean, he's going to be a really, really special player because of his motor. It's unbelievable.
What do you think about Hadim, Coach Dunson?
He's got something special about him and just the way that he approaches things. It's like he's fearless. And I think that's part of his motor, yes. But I just think he has a fearlessness every time he steps on the court. And like he's ready to compete. So he's been a huge help for our team, especially in recent games.
And these threes he's hitting back-to-back games are his first threes as a BYU Cougar. All right, our final shot shadow coming your way.
Way back.
We are on the way back machine for Coach Dunson himself. That is Coach Brandon Dunson in the shot shadow from his deep blue feature. That's good. I like it. Yeah. Very good. After our break, we'll hear from our studio audience in this week's Q&A segment. That's next. Stay with us for BYU Basketball. Kevin Young continues. Back with more.
BYU Basketball with Kevin Young is brought to you by Siegfried & Jensen, helping Utah families for over 35 years. Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU Athletics. And Ken Garth, we hear you.
Now for some audience Q&A for the coach, Kevin Young, and assistant coach, Brandon Dunson. It is brought to you by Ken Garf, where we hear from you, the fans. We have our on-floor mic. We have 5 fans from the audience. And go ahead. What's your name?
My name is Rennie Reeves, and my question for you guys is, who is your go-to player for entertainment on a late-night flight?
We had one last night.
Yes, we did.
Yes, a very late one.
I would say Tyler. Ross, yeah. He's kind of the life of the party this year with the guys. What would you say?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. He's
or Zavion.
Yeah,
and they're like two peas in a pod. They're always together.
And they're funny and they're goofy in their own ways.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Good job. Thanks, Freddie. Yes, go ahead.
My name is Micah Reeves, and my question is, I have heard Coach Young that you like In-N-Out. My question is, what is your favorite item on the menu?
Great question. So quick, super short side story. When I was in Phoenix, if we had a big win on my way home, there was an In-N-Out off my exit, I would stop and treat myself. And I'm pretty simple, man. I go, what do? I go double, single, raw onion, no tomato.
Not that he's particular about it, but all has a routine. Good stuff. Next up.
My name is Jared Clark. Question, since being at BYU, what has been the most intense game you have coached and the one that gave you the most adrenaline?
Ooh. I mean, last year we had 2, but I think probably the at Iowa State for me comes to mind. I mean, it was so loud in there, I couldn't hear anything, and our guys found a way to win an insane double overtime game on the road, and then we got snowed in. Which was
yeah, we did.
That's
in Des Moines that night. Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't fly out till like late the next day.
That was weird. And then we went to this little NAIA school that we used to have practice at when I was the head coach of the G League team in Des Moines. So weird.
Memorable. Coach Dunson.
I would have to say it wasn't a good memory, but the Texas Tech game was pretty intense.
That is a good environment down there.
Environment.
Yeah.
I've been a lot of different places. It was very, very impressive.
How about your pre-BYU days? Anything jump out from your career, like this one of those special nights, whether it was a win or a loss? Or?
I'd say when I was at Stanford, we were struggling. And then this was 2 years ago. We ended up beating Arizona, who was 4th in the country, ended up beating them by about 20, 25, and we were on opposite ends of the conference at that point. So that was pretty fun.
OK, Okay, next question, young man.
Hi, my name is Wally Bird, and I was wondering, what will it take for me to play for you guys later on?
Shoot, dribble, pass. And I'm not even trying to be funny. Like, I watch a lot of, how old are you, young man?
I'm 12.
You're 12, okay. So I watch a lot of 10 and 12-year-old basketball games in Utah County because I have sons your age. And all jokes aside, like, and I say it to my kids all the time, the kids who can literally dribble, pass, and shoot, and not just do one of those three. Like, you got to be able to do all three. So spend time on your ball handling, and there's just no substitute for being able to shoot the basketball. And no one in Utah County passes. So if you can do that, you'll really stand out.
What came first for you, the shoot, dribble, or pass part of it?
The dribble and pass. The shoot came later. Shoot didn't really come to college for me.
Okay. Last question.
My name is Blake Clark and Coach Young. Do you like coaching pro athletes or college athletes better?
I mean, there's a lot of positives in both. You know, being able to impact these younger guys, I found a lot of joy in that because there's just so much more that goes in. It's more holistic coaching, I think. In the pros, it's very singular focused on basketball, whereas in college, especially with the recruiting, and that's one thing this guy's unbelievable at. And I think where we've been able to move the needle with some of the recruits is when we get around a table at my house and we spend time with the family and the athlete, and they get to know us as people, we get to know them as people. That's actually been something that I didn't think I would actually even enjoy, to be honest with you, but it's really come to be something that I like and we get our wives involved. They're really the secret sauce. The wives go mom brigade on the moms, and then we usually
bring it home.
Done. Yeah.
Back to your deep blue. A word that comes to mind as coaches talking was the word impact.
Yeah.
And you can really make an impact.
I've loved being in college. Like, I've had some pro opportunities, but I've stayed in college, and a big part is like you're mentoring people and you're helping them learn life through the game of basketball. And for me, I was a good student. I graduated, but I learned more through the game of basketball about how to navigate life than I ever did in any classroom. And so for me, if I can help student athletes see that and help them with some part of their life through basketball, I feel like I've done my job. And that, for me, is what brings me the most joy.
Outstanding. Thanks for the questions. And coaches, thanks for the great answers. As we go to break, here's tonight's And One trivia question. It's presented by Brady Plus, providing Jan-San food service and packaging supplies plus support. Brady Plus ensures businesses are more successful every day. There's your question. How many games long is BYU's longest ever single season three-point streak for a player? The answer is coming up next. Stay with us. More BYU basketball with Kevin Young next. Welcome back to BYU basketball with Kevin Young. Here's tonight's trivia question. All right, when it comes to single season three-point streaks, Coach Young is a guy that's always a pretty good answer to a question like this. Who would you say?
There's always two guys I come up with, but on this one, I got to go Jimmer.
Let's go with Jimmer and see if that turns out to be correct. Jimmer Fredette. Yes, indeed. The final 28 games of that season in 2010-2011 becomes the record. And by the way, we're just 9 days away from Jimmer Day at the Marriott Center, because at halftime of your Colorado game on the 14th, it's a jersey retirement day.
Yeah, what an unbelievable and super well-deserved honor. And, another guy, we talked about some of the guys that we've brought into the program and being bearers of the BYU flag, but I don't know if there's a better one out there than Jimmer. Super happy for him and his family, and what an unbelievable honor for him.
It's going to be a great weekend. Next up for BYU, a week before Jimmer Day, it's a clash of the Cougars this Saturday at the Marriott Center, BYU and Houston. There you see the UH Cougs, 20-2 on the season. They have just the one loss in the Big 12. They've won 14 of 15 coming into the game, including a three straight. And a great defensive profile, as always, for Coach Sampson. And you see the player at the bottom there, Kingston Fleming's one of the great freshmen in the Big 12. Been outstanding.
Yeah, he's been great. You know, he's a guy we actually looked at quite a bit on the recruiting trail. Super dynamic player. It'll be a fun challenge to try to slow him down.
Okay, broadcast schedule for a pair of ranked teams at the Marriott Center. It'll be on BYU Radio and BYU TV for pregame, ESPN for the game itself, along with BYU Radio, and then come back to BYU TV and Radio for postgame. That'll be Saturday. Coach Dunson, great to have you with us. Coach Young, always good to see you. Folks, thanks for being here with us. Y'all have a great rest of the week.